We're going to talk about cats and dogs now as domestic pets. What about a native animal? It's an idea being floated by the Rural Industries Research and Development Corporation. The idea is to help save endangered wildlife and to create a new start-up business for our ailing rural economy. A soon-to-be-released feasibility study is tipped to recommend a trial using two species, the Eastern Quoll, one of Australia's native cats, and the tiny and incredibly cute Mitchell's Hopping Mouse. But there are critics of the move. Possibly the most controversial part of any new native pet business is the thinking behind it, applying market forces to the problem of extinction. Ian Walker reports on the latest use-it-or-lose-it approach to our wild animals.
Would the bark of a sugar glider keep you up at night? Could a quoll be trained not to bite while being patted, and to use a kitty litter tray? And how many hopping mice should be in a glass tank together in order for them to maintain a happy love life? These curly questions and more have recently been troubling the normally sober folk at the Rural Industries Research and Development Corporation. It's now thinking of promoting a new industry based on making available more native mammals as pets. One of the report's investigators is Rosie Cooney.
People can only necessarily value things that they know. At the moment, the vast majority of Australians know very little about the vast majority of our species. So there's no possible way they can value them. The better we know our species, the more chance we've got that people are actually going to care about their long-term conservation.
And in the same way that cats or dogs are never going to become extinct because we care about them and actively breed them, so too it could be for our native mammals, including the eastern quoll, a gorgeously spotted but mostly nocturnal marsupial being put forward as one of two species which might make good pets. And if people are prepared to buy them, the proceeds might help breeding programs, which could then reintroduce them into the wild on mainland Australia, where they've been extinct for 50 years.
What more widespread keeping of quolls could do is motivate investments in captive breeding of quolls. Captive breeding of threatened species is really expensive. Few people do it. It takes up a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of resources. So if the people breeding quolls could be earning some sort of income from selling a proportion of those animals in to be kept privately as pets, then that is money that could be going straight back into conservation, and it could motivate new investments into the breeding of that species.
But the idea isn't without controversy. Greg Miles is a former Kakadu ranger who believes the idea should be taken even further to include backyard breeding, trading, and exporting, as well as the keeping of pets. He's told the RIRDC researchers that it's abundantly clear native animals are no longer safe in the bush. Miles wants state governments to review their restrictive permit systems, which he claims tie up breeders in unnecessary red tape and prevent them having access to the animals that need saving.
Well, there'll be so much opposition to it. I can see it coming now. You know, hearing the people cry, they'll be saying, you know, it's an appalling notion, having animals in cages instead of in the bush, and that they should be left in the bush where they belong. But of course, if you look around, you see that they're not safe in the bush. And if we do leave them in the bush, they're likely to disappear there. And so it would cost the government very little to relax the legislative constraints which currently stop people from keeping a wide range of native animals as pets and breeding them and then trading them and on-selling them between themselves. And this, at the end of the day, would be an anti-extinction strategy. People should be allowed to keep native animals long before they get to the endangered list.
Rosie Cooney doesn't share Greg Miles' pessimism. The co-author of the Native Pet Industry Report believes people are beginning to understand that valuing something economically almost always prevents it from disappearing.
I think it is catching on. I think the traditional conservation approach has seen the market as the enemy. And so the whole approach of conservation was the fences and fines approach. So you lock up nature behind a fence and you strictly regulate outside of those borders so that nobody can touch anything or sell anything or possess anything. And that's certainly got its place, and it's certainly an essential component of any good conservation strategy. But in all sorts of areas now, conservationists are beginning to recognise that while the market is a terrible master, it's a very powerful tool. So that if it is set up, structured and managed properly, it can be very efficient and very effective in delivering some of the things you want. So we're beginning to see all sorts of things like payments for ecosystem services. Also things like certification, for instance, forest products, where the market is being used to highlight and make visible to consumers forest products that are from well-managed sources. So there has been this quite large-scale shift in conservation approaches over, say, the last 10 years or so, but so far this really hasn't made it to wildlife conservation in any big way.
Watch this space, and you can hear Ian Walker's story on the great native pet debate tomorrow night on Background Briefing. Where does he find these stories? After the 7 o'clock news here on Radio National.